Work it, make it, do it, makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
Richardson, the running back, they give it to him over the right side, dives, he's in, touchdown, Trent Richardson.
Weeden looking, right corner of the end zone, throws, touchdown, Jordan Cameron. What a beautiful throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Weeden to throw. He's going to go long. Looking long for Gordon. He's out there. He's got it. 10-5. Touchdown. No doubt about it.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
After reviewing the tape, we've made some improvements in some areas. And obviously, we need improvement in many more areas. This is a determined team. We'll get it right, and we'll bounce back. We'll make the corrections, move on, and get ready for Minnesota. I believe in this team. I believe that we will not accept losing, and we will get better.
Head coach Rob Chudzinski addressing the media today here in Berea. It is a Therapy Monday. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagora, trying to pick up the pieces from another loss and another dismal day for the Browns offense. And the stories don't end there. The storylines don't end there. The health of Brandon Weeden will be a big subject of conversation. The sprained thumb that he had, the uncertainty over whether he'll play Sunday. I'm going to go out on a limb right now, Nathan, and say I'm not expecting Brandon Weeden to play Sunday against the Vikings. I don't think I'm going very far out on that limb. The question will be who will be his replacement, and it's not necessarily going to be the next guy up yesterday, who was Jason Campbell. It could very well be Brian Hoyer, who was made available to the media today.
Vic, it is tough as we sit here today on this Monday to be very excited about what the Browns did. And, you know, we talked last week. We said I laid out my path to victory in this game for the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
And I said to you, I believe the defense can do that. They can execute that part of the path. I cannot find a way to get this offense to 20 points because that's all I thought it would take to win this game. 6 points. Right now, Eddie Royal, the wide receiver for the San Diego Chargers, has five times as many touchdowns as the Cleveland Browns offense in two games. Eddie Royal. So this is it was just very disappointing. And I thought the first half was positive. You're up 6-0. So for the second time in as many games, the Browns go into halftime with the lead. Brandon Weeden actually looked pretty good to me in that first half of the game. In the second half, though, this offense completely bogged down. There was nothing was being generated. I think they had, 90 yards of offense in the second half?
Right.
You can't win football games in the NFL with 90 yards of offense in a half. Everything that the management group here has done in terms of bringing people in on the defensive side of the ball to rush the passer.
It's working.
Unfortunately, the offensive side of the ball is not delivering. Listen, the Cleveland Browns in two games have given up 37 points. If you give up 37 points in two games in the NFL, you should be a fairly competitive team. That's not typically an 0-2 team.
Right.
So, to me, this offense has been bad, and I've said, and I still will say, you need to reserve complete judgment until Josh Gordon comes back. But now it sounds like Josh Gordon's going to come back without Brandon Weeden. So it could be who knows how long till we see the full complement of things going in this offense. But to me, this Browns team right now is a team that you just have to wonder, what do you really have on offense?
Well, I think this. I don't think they have a quarterback. I am going to conclude that. I know Brandon's thumb injury now sets back that process or the progress of trying to see what his progress is, the going about figuring that out. He doesn't make enough plays, and there were times in that game, and while I would say he played better than he did in week one, that's not saying a lot. Week one was abysmal. This was better from an efficiency standpoint, yet I didn't see enough in the way of delivery of throws and movement. And he's not a mobile quarterback, but he still has to be a playmaker. And the difference between a highly accomplished Super Bowl MVP quarterback who was playing for the Ravens, who did not have to have a lights-out game, although in many instances he wasn't helped by a very, a bereft core of receivers. His receiving core, we've well documented, has been hit by both injury and free agent departure, Anquan Boldin and so forth. He didn't have much to work with. He made an undrafted free agent look pretty good on catching a nice route to score a touchdown and move the ball just enough. What they needed, what was needed in that game was not a lot. It was small ball the Browns were playing. They were trying to run the ball more than they did the previous week, not getting anywhere near the success there. And they needed people to step up. And I'm not going to absolve Trent Richardson from this conversation. He needed to be a bigger force than he was with whatever attempts he had. I'm going to push that one aside for a moment and focus
we'll
on Whedon. Focus on Whedon. I need to see more. I need to see, even with a guy who is not getting the help of his receiving core, and we know that guys don't do a good job of getting separation or getting open, yet you have to raise that level somehow. And the only place that happens in the NFL, the differentiator in teams, is that quarterback position. And I think the Browns went into this year, I know they did, went into this year, let's see what we have with Whedon, and let's make our conclusion. In the meantime, they did put all of their investment, they put all of their energy and focus on the defensive side of the ball, and the decision makers who focused on making that area better actually deserve a pat on the back, because that defense is playing exceptionally well, that front seven especially. They could do a better job on third down. They don't have all the flaws covered, but they've got a lot done. And Barkevious Mingo's first sack makes a statement that this group can identify talent. They identified free agent talent. Desmond Bryant is a beast, is dominant.
He's dominant.
Desmond Bryant is just dominant, Bryant. I mean, that guy he was identified by the Browns as the best available D lineman in free agency. They got him. And he's going to, I think he's already put himself in the Pro Bowl in two games. The guy's amazing. So as we look at the defense, there's a lot to like. The offense was left sort of to, like, let's see what we've got and then figure out our, not just the offensive situation, but the quarterback situation. And that's the question that's open-ended. How much does Brandon Sprain Thumb complicate things? Not a whole lot, because I think the conclusions are, up to the point of his injury, still not good enough.
I'd like to see Brandon Whedon get an opportunity with Josh Gordon on the field before I make that complete of a conclusion on him. But I get the point, and I think we would all agree that even it would be very difficult to see something over the next 14 games that would convince you or I, despite our differences in quarterback evaluation, that he is a top 20 quarterback in the NFL. And if you're not a top 20 quarterback in the NFL, you're not a quarterback that's going to win a Super Bowl for a franchise, unless you are surrounded by something completely remarkable, as has happened a couple times in NFL history. So I'm with you there. I'm a little concerned with a couple of things on offense. Number one, my biggest fear this offseason, and something we talked about, was that, you know, you look in the preseason, we watched it in camp. Greg Little had every opportunity, I believe, in the first 2 weeks of the National Football League season to say, you know what, I am that good. I am one of the better receivers in the NFL. I'm going to be a guy who's going to make plays going forward, et cetera, et cetera. He has had the chances. Through 2 weeks in the National Football League season, Greg Little has been targeted 22 times. Another receiver in the NFL who's been targeted 22 times is Randall Cobb. Greg Little, on his 22 targets, has 8 catches for 59 yards. 22 targets, 59 yards. He's not even averaging 3 yards a target. Randall Cobb on 22 targets has 16 catches, 236 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Now, obviously, the difference is, of course, you know, Aaron Rodgers. But opportunities like that,
difference.
there isn't another receiver in the league with so many opportunities who has so few yards.
Right.
There's not another one in the entire NFL with that few yards, 59 yards on 22 targets. Greg Little at 10 targets in each of the first two games. The only receivers in the entire league who saw 10 or more targets in the first two games were Andre Johnson, Cecil Shorts, Pierre Garçon, Vincent Jackson, and Greg Little. And you know very well, without even having to look at it, that despite the fact that Cecil Shorts is playing with Blaine Gabbert and Chad Henne, he's been more productive, almost 3 times as much as Little. And to me, that's the issue, right? I don't even, with Gordon back, is Greg Little a guy that you can have as your number two receiver in the National Football League right now?
I have my doubts about whether he's a number three receiver or that I want him on my roster at all. I see, and
he works hard. It's not his ethic.
He's put forth the effort to try to work on his hands after games, after practices. We saw it all summer long. We saw it through the off-season workouts. Yeah. We saw it through training camp. So the time was there. Even working extra routes after practice, we witnessed all that. But it's not happening. And on top of that, compounding that is the off-field concern, the traffic issues that he has, the driving issues that he has, which all that to me leads to judgment questions, leads to focus questions, and also what do you stand for as a team, as an organization, with repeated issues like this? And that's, again, falling on the lap of your head coach, on Rob Chudzinski, to handle that in the most, I think, forceful way he possibly can. There is another shoe to drop, I think, on the Greg Little story. We'll see how the rest of this day plays out, but I'm anticipating something there, just in the way of a statement-making action on the part of the Browns. I don't even know that any statements have to be made, but just do it and remind everyone as to the standard you hold your players to. Because this bleeds over into the performance side too, Nathan. I firmly believe that. I think you've got to take charge of that and handle that in ways that you have to handle it, to let not just the public know, not just give them sort of the pound of flesh to let them know, you know, we're mad right now, 0-2 Browns, offense looks awful. Give us something to show that you're as mad as we are and do something. You know, take it out on somebody. That isn't really what I'm talking about, and that isn't how you go about it. That's not the professional way you go about it. That all said, Josh Gordon's return, yeah, it should mean something, you would hope, but I am not sitting here saying that that's a magic pill for this offense. I think it could be helpful, but this is a guy still finding his way as a player, still learning the game, and has still showed some inconsistency, some up-and-down work we saw in the preseason, even though every day you see him out there as an athlete, he's the most dominant-looking guy the Browns have athletically, and particularly on offense, and I want to see more of that. The other thing we need to see, and you need to have, what was the other big difference in that game yesterday? The Ravens ran the football to the tune of what it was, 99 total yards overall. And they averaged only 3.2 per carry, so the Browns defense was sufficiently doing its job. But they were getting enough in the way of push or whatever you want to call it, enough success, just enough in a game that was this close, in a game that hung in the balance really through the entire way, most of the way, where it didn't take much offense, just enough to give them a little bit of a momentum and set things up within the passing game, such as it was. And there was nothing really dynamic there, but just enough. And you were looking for the same thing from the Browns. What the Browns, though, got was Trent Richardson with 18 carries, yeah, five more than the opener, an attempt at balance, but 2.8 per carry. I mean, that's where you say to yourself, how much of this is his inability, the line's inability to give him room to run, and how much of it is, and I'm sorry, I said three. His is 3.2 per carry. The 2.8 average was was what the Ravens had. So I flipped those numbers around. But the difference was he didn't get on his own enough done. And I need to see more of that. I know this line's got to give you some help too, but I need to see a star player, if that's what he is, Nathan, step up and be that guy.
You need him to. And you look back and you look through the last eight games dating back to last year. Eight games, Vic. Trent Richardson has averaged 4 yards per carry in exactly one of those games in his last eight. That is not a recipe for success, and the only one that he did average more than 4 yards per carry was week number 17 last year, when he only took 9 carries for 53 yards against the Denver Broncos, or week 16, I'm sorry, of last year. So we're talking about somebody who has not, you know, produced at that level really at all. And in his career now, he's only been over 4 yards per carry in 5 games total. So this is something that's either part Trent, part system. But I know this, he does not run, he doesn't break off the big runs very often. And some of that has to do with the line, but sometimes there are guys, you know, you see guys like LeSean McCoy, CJ Spiller, make massive runs out of nothing. And that's what I want to see Trent Richardson do, because he's going to have to do that as a matter of fact, in this offense. That is the only thing that he is going to be able to do. And I look back, Pro Football Focus, they chart, you know, the running backs who were on the by attempts, 50% of their team's attempts, and they have a thing called breakaway percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you were to take 48 running backs last year who all had at least 90 carries or more, Trent Richardson ranked 42nd out of 48 in breakaway, and the people below him were guys like Michael LaShour, Daniel Thomas. We're talking about bigger backs who aren't full-time every-down backs. He was the worst out of people with 250 carries by a lot in terms of his breakaway percentage last year. So he was below Sean Green. I mean, that sums it up to me. Trent Richardson should not be below Sean Green in any type of metric for a running back in terms of explosive ability after being drafted third overall. So you got to see something from him. You got to see something from this line. We haven't seen it. But I'll tell you what, the one thing that I'm going to take away from this game is that this defense remains, as we've said before, playoff caliber, in my opinion. The offense needs to step up. And I will tell you what, Barkevious Mingo, when you saw it in real game action and you saw how quick he was, he is somebody who is going to be a force. One of my friends said he looked almost LT-like in with the speed right there, and that's a bit aggressive, but it looked a lot like Aldon Smith. I watched some of Aldon Smith last night. He did things, and he's built a little bit like Aldon Smith. Yeah. And
no, he's a remarkable player. He's legit, and it looks like, again, they've hit on those chords as a personnel evaluation group, which people want to say, you know, you got nothing out of this draft. If you get that, you've gotten a lot. I'll take that. I always want more. I certainly would like to see more. But I'd say for right now, I'm happy hitting the ground running. Yeah, it came a game later. Yeah, he had to deal with a bruised lung and all of those issues.
Fine.
What he's overcome to show what he showed yesterday on top of what else they're getting out of their players is good stuff. It is a Therapy Monday, and that means you call us. This is the therapeutic part of it. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850 to chat about this or tweet us at Browns_daily. Now, to give you the lineup today, we are going to have our roundtable together a little later in this hour, shooting for maybe about 15 or so minutes from now to have Doug Deacon from the Browns PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network and also have Tom Withers with him on the roundtable. Rob Chudzinski, the head coach of the Browns, will join us in hour number two, as he regularly does on Monday, so we'll have him up here to break things down directly. You'll hear sound from his news conference today in the show, but we'll do that with him in studio to hear directly from the head coach. A lot of topics to cover with him from yesterday's game. And Gerard Cherry makes his regular stop here on Mondays. And we have a special guest, Nathan. Tell us about that.
A special guest in studio, Cleveland's own WWE superstar, The Miz, in town for Monday Night Raw tonight down at the Q. Longtime Cleveland Browns fan. He will join us in studio here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And I think that's going to be coming up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.